Right, I want to invite you to take God's word and turn to 1 John. We're going to look at several passages of scripture today, all of the scripture references that we'll look at. As always, we'll be on the screen for you. I hope that you'll take notes and follow along. We're going to start in 1 John. This is going to be an awesome day. Let me tell you why. It is the Super Bowl, of course, but it's going to be a super day because here's what we've got planned. I'm going to tell you right up front, immediately after the message. We've got several people who have made decisions to follow Christ and are going to follow Jesus in what we call believer's baptism. These are people who have trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Many are students that were not able to be baptized last weekend at Freedom, and they're going to be baptized today right after I get through preaching. There are others that have trusted Christ previously, but they've never followed Christ in a public way, and they are finally going to have their opportunity to express publicly what they believe personally. And then there are others that grew up in the church. Some were baptized as children, but when you talk to them, they were doing it because all their friends were doing it, or perhaps they were coming from a different faith and they were sprinkled as a child, and what they want to do is get their, what we call, get their baptism on the right side of their salvation. They've made a decision in Christ, they know what they're doing, and now they are going to publicly be baptized. And so we're going to see many people baptized today, and I tell you that right up front, because I believe that there are many in this room that may need to make that same decision. And we built some space in this service today because we're going to give you an opportunity, if you've never been biblically baptized, to come forward at the end of our time together and you join these that have already signed up for baptism. We call it a spontaneous baptism. We haven't done it in like 2 years. And so we're going to give some of you an opportunity to make your public profession of faith today. If you've never trusted in Christ, to trust him and then follow him in believer's baptism. Again, perhaps you've trusted him before, but you've never made that decision. You get that chance today and you're thinking, whoa, 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 I didn't bring anything. I'm not ready for this. We got you covered, all right? We've got shirts back there for you. We've got swim trunks for you. You say, I want my loved ones to be here. You better text them right now and say, tune in to championforest.org. Because you're going to see something at the end of the service today, all right? And we want you to go ahead and get ready. And here's the deal. As I'm preaching, God, by the power of his still small voice, may be saying, you know what? That's you. And if you hear the voice of God today, get in these waters and profess faith in Christ, you need to obey the voice of God. I assure you, it's not Satan saying, get baptized today and show the world that you believe in Jesus. And so you're going to have that opportunity today, and it is going to be a great day. We're continuing in our Reset series, and today we're going to deal with a question that will fall right in line with what we're doing with spontaneous baptism. These are must-answer questions as we start this year off, and here is the question. It's the title of the message today. Can I know for sure I'm saved? Did you know that God wants you to have an assurance of salvation? He does not want you going through life wondering whether or not, am I really saved? He doesn't want you questioning, am I certain that my sins have been forgiven and I have a right relationship with God? He doesn't want you questioning, do I know for sure that when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with Christ? God wants you to be certain of your salvation. Many passages of scripture teach this. We'll look at a lot of them. I want to start in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says this, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Look at verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. I don't know of a more important question that we can answer, that each one of us must settle once and for all, than this question. The famous evangelist of the mid-1800s, D.L. Moody, said this, I have never met anyone anywhere who was of any good to the cause of Christ, who did not have the assurance of their salvation. And I agree, because if we're not sure of our salvation, we'll live in a constant fear that could paralyze us and prevent us from moving forward spiritually, wondering, are we really saved? If we're not assured of our salvation, we won't walk in joy and relish what it means to have an abundant life in Christ. If we're not sure of our salvation, no way will we live by faith. If the foundation of our faith isn't settled, no way will we build on it or grow in it. So eternal security is that important. Now, on a personal note, this is important to me because I've had to work this out in my own life. I grew up in church. Some of my earliest memories are from the church. And I trusted Jesus as a little boy, 11 years old, at a preteen camp. And with this being my testimony, I really struggled growing up in church as I was a teenager, just wondering, you know, did I really make this decision on my own, or is this just something that I grew up in? And I would doubt my salvation all throughout my junior high and high school years. I would wonder, did I really mean that prayer when I asked Jesus to come into my heart? Did he hear me? Did I mean it? Did it really take? And we'd have different evangelists and preachers come into my church, and they'd preach an awesome message. And I can just remember them coming to the close of that message, and they'd say, do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven? And I would think, well, I thought I did until you put it like that. And growing up, if I asked Jesus into my heart once, I mean, I must have asked him a million times to come into my heart. I just want to be sure. Now, I know I can't be the only one in the room that struggled with doubt. I remember when God was calling me to the ministry, and we have student pastors and mission pastors and worship pastors. I thought, God, if you're calling me to the ministry, I'll just be the minister to doubters because I know what it's like. But the Bible, as I've grown in my faith, doesn't want us to doubt our salvation. God wants us to be certain. And so how can we be certain? 3 points. Number one, we can know for sure we're saved. How? By understanding the gift of God in salvation. Salvation is the Lord's. It belongs to him, and it is given to people. It's not achieved. It's not earned. Another way we could say this is salvation is a grace gift. Paul put it like this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. Look at this. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Grace is the unearned, unmerited favor of God. If you could work for your salvation, do something to achieve your salvation, earn your salvation, it would nullify the grace of God. And God is not going to allow that to happen. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift. God gets credit for salvation and no one else. I've often shared it like this, that if God put in scripture that if you could just jump rope 10 times, 10 times in a row and not miss one time, and then you could have salvation. You know what we'd be doing? We'd be going out and jump roping. And as soon as we jump rope 10 times, you know what we do? We go to all of our friends and say, you're not gonna believe what happened. I jump rope 10 times and now I have salvation. And we'd be owning it like we accomplished something, like we did something. And God is not going to share his glory with anyone, especially when it comes to salvation. Salvation is a grace gift from God. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, it is God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. Understanding the gift of God in salvation is important because if our salvation, watch this, if our salvation is not gained by something that we do, which by the way, that's how all other religions work. It's all about what an individual does. Does your good outweigh your bad? Have you appeased God enough by the prayers that you've prayed, by the rituals that you've participated in? Are you measuring up? That's religion. It's all about what you do. Salvation in Christ is about what he has done on our behalf, and he offers us salvation by grace. It is a gift. It's not gained. It's not achieved. It's not earned by anything we can do, and therefore it stands to reason that it can't be lost by something that we do or don't do. In other words, what is received as a gift by grace through faith can't be removed by works or a lack thereof. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, Jared, I get this. Grace is a gift that God freely gives. Totally agree with you. I don't think I can earn it. I don't think I can achieve it. But if God freely gives it, can't he freely take it away? Well, let's talk this out. What could possibly cause God to take away your salvation? What could make you lose your salvation? Is it the severity of sin? If so, what sin is so severe that it could cause you to lose your salvation or God to take it away? I mean, the worst sin I see in Scripture are those that were nailing Jesus to the cross, mocking him, plucking out his beard, spitting upon him. And what did Jesus say to those men? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So it's not severity of sin. That's not gonna cause God to remove his salvation. Maybe you're thinking, well, it's not severity of sin, but it's repetition of sin. Like, if you just keep sinning over and over and over again, or you've got that habitual sin that you can't kick, that'll cause you to lose your salvation, or God will take it away if you just keep on sinning. Well, if that's the case, show me the chapter and verse. Because the chapter and verse I'll show you is Matthew chapter 18, where the disciples come to Jesus and says, what if somebody sins against me seven times? That's a number of completion, a lot. And what does Jesus say? I tell you, if they come to you seven times, you don't forgive them just seven times. It's what? 70 times seven. Now, surely the love of God, which we'll talk about in just a moment, is much stronger than the love that one has for a brother. This concept of losing your salvation or God taking away your salvation because of sin, it's always kind of bewildered me, because if this was the case, why would he save us in the first place? You can't lose your salvation. I'm with the pastor Bodie Bauckham, who said this, folks, if we could lose our salvation, we would. God is not taking his salvation away from you. It is a gift. And if you're thinking, well, that person that I know, he was saved, he was baptized, but now he has left the faith. He is an apostate. What do you say to that? I say if someone has abandoned the faith, they weren't a believer in the first place. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this. Paul says that he who began a good work in you will bring it to the completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What God starts in you, he will finalize and complete. Salvation is a past, present, and future tense reality. We trusted Jesus. When we bowed our heart before the Lord, we humbled ourselves, turned from our sin, and called on him by faith. Instantaneously, we were saved. That's past tense. We were declared righteous before God as we walk with him, and we grow to be more and more like Jesus. That is called sanctification. That is the present tense of salvation. We are being saved, and one day we will be glorified, glorification, and that is we will be saved when we see Jesus face to face. What God begins, he will bring to completion. Now, how do I know this? How do I know this? It's not based on what I feel. It's not based on even what I think. It's based on the promise of the Word of God. And this is key when it comes to what we believe about salvation. What does the Word of God say in our Next Steps curriculum, where we walk believers through that have trusted in Christ for the first time? We're trying to build a solid foundation as a discipleship tool. Week 3 is all about what I'm talking about today, security in Christ. and we show this image in the workbook and we talk through it, that our life is like a train. And notice how this train is set up. We live, the engine that drives our train is fact. That's the truth of God's word. Faith and then feelings. Feelings is the caboose, all right? We don't get this flipped. If you live by feelings, it's gonna be up, down, up, down, up, down. When it comes to salvation and any other truth, we live based off of what does God's word say. Now, think about what God's word says as it relates to our salvation. Listen to this promise, Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Those whom he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified, past tense of salvation. And to those whom he justified, look at this, he also glorified. So what God starts in you, he will bring to completion. Salvation is a gift from God, and it is as sure as the promises of God. And this leads to the second point. How do we know we can be sure that we're saved? One, we understand the gift of God in salvation, but secondly, we understand the role of God in salvation. The reason the doctrine of eternal security, or what we call the perseverance of the saints, another name, is so critically important, is because, watch this, the work and role of the triune God is at stake. To deny that you can know for certain you are saved is to deny the work and role of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you this, again, not my opinion, not my feelings. Let me give it to you based off the truth of God's word. We serve one God in three distinct persons. We call it the Trinity. Another sermon for another time, okay? Go online. We've got a whole sermon on the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three distinct persons. Each person in the Godhead has a role, a work in our salvation. I want to show you this out of Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to do an entire series in Ephesians following this reset series. But just listen to the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit out of Ephesians chapter 1. Let's take God the Father first. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Look at this. Even as he, God the Father, chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. God the Father calls, he chooses us. Let's look at the role of God the Son. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 7. In him, that's God the Son, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So God the Father calls, he chooses. God the Son redeems, he purchases. Look at the work of God the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 verse 13 and 14. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, look at this, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So notice the work and role of the Godhead. Salvation is all about him. God the Father chooses. He calls to salvation. Jesus the Son, he purchases our salvation. He redeems us. And God the Holy Spirit, he seals us and guarantees us eternal life. You can be confident in your salvation because of the character of God. The character of God is the letter of authenticity that comes along with your salvation. You know what I'm talking about, letter of authenticity? You got any autographs from a famous athlete or something, it ought to come with a letter of authenticity telling you it ain't a fake. In my study, I have a couple of pages from Charles Spurgeon, great English preacher. His actual sermon notes written in his longhand. How do we know that it's his? Because it comes with a letter of authenticity. The letter of authenticity to know that we can be secure in our salvation is the character of God. Listen to John 6, verse 37 through 40. See this work and role and function. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son by faith, believes in him, should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The work, role, and character of God is at stake when we talk about salvation. And once you have received Christ, you will always be in Christ. We can know for sure we're saved by understanding the role of God in salvation, understanding the gift of God in salvation, and number three, understanding the love of God in salvation. This is the month of love. Guys, I'm helping you out. This is the week of love, all right? Friday, Valentine's Day. And we're gonna give that special someone, you better give that special someone a card, flowers, chocolate, gift of some kind. We know what it is as humans to give and receive love. But God's love is a divine love. It's altogether different than the human love that we experience and that we give. God's love has what I call a staying power. The scripture calls it a steadfast love, an eternal love, a covenant love. Nothing can change it. Nothing affects it. Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is what our salvation is rooted in. It's what keeps our salvation. If you ever doubt your salvation, where is the first place you go? You go to the love of God. His love is what's holding you, and it will never let you go. I've got thousands like you of pictures in my phone. I mean, thousands. But you know, when you really like one, you heart it, and it becomes a favorite. And I've got a couple hundred favorites. But out of all of my favorites, this is one of my very favorites right here. This is a picture of me walking my little Riley, who is a freshman at Baylor this year, walking my little Riley to school, her pre-K year. And I had a lot less gray hair then, all right? But I love this picture because it shows me holding Riley's hand. Now, let me tell you something. On our way to school, Riley wasn't holding my hand. I was holding her hand. And she wasn't gonna fall. She wasn't gonna trip. Why? Because Daddy was holding her hand. It's a picture of salvation. Salvation is not us holding God's hand. It is God holding our hand, and he will never let us go. John 10, 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. It's one thing to know God. It's another thing for him to know you. I know them, and they follow me. Look at this. I give them eternal life. It's a gift. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This is God's love. It holds on to us even when we're unlovable, even when we're trying to let go, even when the enemy's trying to pry the Father's hands loose from ours. It's not going to happen. Again, our salvation does not depend on the strength of our grip on Christ, but the strength of his grip on our life. We can walk in confidence as it relates to salvation when we properly understand the gift of God in salvation, the role of God in salvation, and the love of God in salvation. 1 John 5:13, I read it to you again. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know absolute certainty, no guessing, no hoping, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so we started the day with this question: can I know for sure I'm saved? And the answer is absolutely yes. But here's the question each and every person must answer before you leave today, and that is this: do you know for sure that you are saved? You can know, but do you? It's not based on works. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, that day of judgment, that day we stand before the Lord. They'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. It's not about what we do. Salvation is not based on works. Going to church doesn't save you. Being a good person doesn't save you. Not based on what we do. It's based on what Christ has done. It's not even based on what we believe with our head. Remember what James said? James chapter 1, verse 19. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. Our salvation, it's not based on a prayer you prayed when you were little or being baptized. None of those things saved you. What saves you is faith in Christ. Salvation is a gift from God. And if you want to know if you have a saving faith, let me give it to you in one word. It's the word changed. A saving faith changes you from within. Don't base your salvation on this premise of, well, once saved, always saved, but your life has no evidence of the Holy Spirit's work or transformation. There's been no change. The premise isn't once saved, always saved. It should be if saved, always saved. We need to be as Thomas Watson, the Puritan. He said, faith that does not change your heart will not save your soul. To put it simply, a saving faith changes you. Jonathan Edwards was a great preacher, first great awakening theologian. He preached and thousands came to know Christ. And he really wrestled with this. How do we know the difference between a true convert and a false convert? It can't just be people coming forward to make decisions. How do we know? And he ended up writing a pamphlet called A Treatise Concerning Religious Affections. And in it, it's a list of characteristics that he would suggest are keys to saving faith. I've edited them, added some of my own. This list isn't exhaustive, but if you want to know if you have a saving faith, let the Holy Spirit grade your paper today. This is how you can know. Number one, do you have an increasing love for Jesus Christ? Those that are saved have an increasing love for Jesus Christ. That sanctification, present tense of salvation, is a progressive sanctification. And our heart ought to be enlarging for Christ every single day. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, that is not works. That's production that comes from simply abiding in Christ, living in Christ. Do you have an increasing love for Jesus? Number two, are you sensitive to sin in your life? The Puritans felt the difference between a true believer and a false convert wasn't sinlessness, but warfare. The saved wage war against the sin that assaults their soul. Those that are lost are at peace with it. For believers, it's a lifetime of repentance. Number three, do you have an increasing desire and hunger for the Word of God and for prayer? More than that, an increasing hunger to obey God. 1 John 2:3. And by this, we know that we have come to know Him. How? If we keep His commandments. Number four is your passion for family members and friends that do not know Christ. Is it growing? Do you have a love for the family of God? Again, 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abide in death. Are you aware and becoming more sensitive to need around you? God softens your heart. Is biblical community a priority in your life? Letting others in to speak truth in love. This is an important one. Number seven, have you undergone the Lord's discipline or experienced suffering and persecution for your faith? Hebrews 12 says that God disciplines those He loves. He scourges everyone He sees as a son or daughter of God. And then number eight, have you openly confessed Christ and followed him in obedience to baptism? That's why today I want to give you a chance to be baptized. Not because it saves you, it doesn't. But what baptism will do is help solidify in your own heart and mind the choice that you have made to surrender your life to Christ. It's your identification as a believer in Christ. And it's a stake in the ground. When you get in baptism, you say, I'm making a choice, a decision to surrender my life to Jesus and follow him all of my days. So, if you've never called on the name of the Lord and followed him in baptism, or you just want to settle it once and for all, we're going to give you that opportunity to show the world, this is what I believe, and this is to whom I belong. Let's pray.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.